The gospel this Sunday is the gospel according to St. Matthew, there in the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, that is a day when there were lots of conversations, including lots of challenges to Jesus, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear." A little bit later on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. And as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word immediately and receives it with joy. And yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, then that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. And I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, this day we invite your presence by your Spirit. Share with us, Jesus. Share with us the work that you are doing in our lives and in our world. And grant us the hope which is firmly planted upon your grace, your determined mercy. Bless us with who and whose we are this day, that we may go about our vocation that you call us to. So let the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, the response of our lives all be graced and empowered by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear ones, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We've come through now the 250th anniversary of our nation's birth. And I must confess, personally, a sense not of celebration, but of heaviness in my heart. The headlines continue to be unsettling for me, politically and otherwise. And even formerly safe places like congregational life doesn't necessarily feel steady and sure. Not anymore amidst transitions into unknown future. Many of us come today perhaps carrying worry, confusion, maybe even fear. When the world and our lives feel chaotic, don't we long for control? some way to manage outcomes, predict results, or guarantee safety? I mean, we want to have it figured out, don't we? If you're like me. And into that very human longing, Jesus tells a story about a sower who refuses to live by fear and refuses to live by control. A sower who goes out to sow. And before Jesus even mentions anything about soil, before he talks about thorns or rocks or paths, he shows us something about God. Because the first thing we learn in this parable is not about us. It's about the sower. It's about God. And the sower is astonishing. The sower throws seed everywhere. On the path, on the rocks, in the thorns, in the good soil, everywhere. The sower's sowing is, you could say, reckless, wasteful, foolish. And that's the point. Before this is a story about human response, it's a story about divine generosity. I was counting up the years the other day, and I thought, my goodness, it's already been well over 25 years ago I lived and pastored in Iowa, surrounded by farmers who were the opposite of reckless. Back then, they were already using GPS-located field applications, you know, GPS and the tractors, the combine, and everything in between to know exactly what was going onto and off of the field at that point. They were using variable-rate fertilizer systems and yield monitors that mapped every square foot of the field. But I tell you the truth, today's farmers, especially those using John Deere's latest technology, not to, you know, I'm a Kubota owner, not a John Deere owner, I'll confess that, but I used to work amidst the John Deere factory workers and engineers who had probably developed some very sophisticated technology, those folks that used to be members of my church flock. Today's cutting-edge farmers are farming in ways that would have seemed like science fiction 25 years ago. Tractors now drive themselves. Cameras scan 30 times a second, 30 times a second, the field. Artificial intelligence identifies individual weeds, and sprays only those weeds with herbicide. Drones fly pre-programmed routes and create centimeter-level maps. Soil sensors report moisture and nutrient levels in real time. Real time, folks. Satellite imagery detects plant stress before the human eye can even see it. Farmers build digital twins of entire fields, and they do modeling there of simulated planting dates, of seed varieties, of fertilizer strategies, and predict yield outcomes before touching the soil. Man, everything is measured, everything is optimized, everything is controlled. Well, maybe not the weather and the markets, but the farmers do their utmost. And Jesus tells a story that flies in the face of all of it. The sower in Jesus' parable does not manage outcomes. The sower does not protect the seed. The sower does not calculate return on investment. The sower simply, what? Sows, gives, generously. Dare I say recklessly? This is the first revelation of the kingdom in this parable. God is more generous with grace than we are with ourselves and with each other. God sows God's word of grace into the rocky places of our lives. God sows into the thorny seasons of our lives. God sows into the hand and hard-packed paths we've walked for years, huh? God sows where no farmer, ancient or modern, would bother. And God does not stop. Now, Jesus is also honest. He names the reality of mixed responses to the planting. Sometimes the seed thrives. Sometimes the seed struggles. Sometimes the seed even dies. But notice what Jesus does not do. He does not blame the sower. He does not even shame the soil. He simply names reality. His honesty with us is pastoral. It frees us from believing that rejection means failure. That slow growth means God is absent. That uneven results mean that the mission is flawed. And in this era when the world and perhaps our lives individually and congregationally feel a little bit unstable, and anxiety chokes hope, and honesty, well, is a thing that is a blessing to us here. You see, Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God does not depend on human stability. It does not rise or fall on the headlines of the week. It is rooted in the character of God, not the chaos of the world. And here is the good news that often gets missed. Did you realize soil can change? Hard ground can be tilled. Rocks can be cleared. I did a lot of that growing up in Wisconsin on my uncle's farm. Thorns can be weeded. Soil can be renewed. The parable, in other words, is not fatalistic. It does not say you are one kind of soil forever. The Spirit is still tending the soil. The Spirit is still cultivating growth. The Spirit is still making room for the Word to take root. Romans 8 says it pretty plainly. Life in the Spirit is not instantaneous perfection. It is ongoing transformation. Now, our justification before God may not be by degrees. I mean, that is fully on. In the name of Jesus Christ and by his precious blood, I declare to you that you are beloved of God, fully loved and forgiven now. Sorry, you're stuck with that. But maturing in Christ, sanctification, that certainly does come by degrees as the Holy Spirit is at work and continues to be at work in us, doing the Spirit's work. For Messiah, this means we who may feel spiritually dry right now are not done growing. Or we who may feel stuck are not stuck forever. Or we who may feel longing for a return to some, well, pleasantly remembered past era. Or casting off bygone days without learning because we just want to get on with it. We are no longer held captive by nostalgia nor avoidance. We get to grow up. And we who may feel insignificant as we're overwhelmed by the world can become fruitful again. The Spirit is still tending the soil. And then Jesus ends the parable with a promise, an extravagant one at that. The yield is what? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold? This is not normal agricultural yield. This is divine yield. Divine yield. And the sower's hope in that yield is not naive. It is grounded in the character of God who brings life out of death, growth out of barrenness, and fruitfulness out of unlikely places. The harvest God imagines is larger than the harvest we expect. And it is not threatened by the news of the week or our situation in life, individually or congregationally. Not at all. So where does Messiah Lutheran fit into this story? Well, let me tell you. You are both the soil and the sower. As soil, you and I are being tended by the Spirit. Our rocky places are not obstacles for God. Our thorny seasons do not disqualify us. Our hard-packed paths are not beyond renewal. And as sowers, you and I participate in God's liberality. You share the word with abandon in worship, in community meals, in VBS, in your caring visits, in your pursuit of social justice, in your quiet acts of kindness, in your generous sharing of your time, talent, and possessions in congregational life and ministry. You sow without knowing where fruit will appear. You sow without controlling the outcome. You sow because God first sowed into you. This is your vocation. A community receiving God's generous word and sharing it with the same generosity. The parable is not a test. It is an invitation to trust the sower, an invitation to let the Spirit tend the soil, an invitation to sow generously even when results are uncertain, an invitation to hope for a harvest beyond imagination. Jesus said, "Let anyone with ears listen." Not a threat, not a warning, a promise. God's still speaking, God's still sowing, God's still tending, God's still growing fruit in and through you. Here again, God's promise through the prophet Isaiah. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it." In Jesus' name, amen.